May 30th, 2019, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Walk for Pedro. So, hey, Brother Matt.
Yeah, how's it?
Man, it's kind of gray, huh?
Yeah, we got the May gray leading May into gray. Some June gloom.
That's
some
right.
Extended winter.
Yeah. And we've been spared some swelter.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot.
And in fact, last week, or the beginning of this week, some wetness.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah. But it's starting to hint. It's starting to hint. It's trying to bust out.
Okay, trying to bust out. And you got a big sewer project coming.
It's huge.
It'll be a couple weeks, right?
We got clean water coming.
Yeah, these
guys. 1938.
38, a lot of chunks.
Yeah.
Passed a lot of chunks. Brother Matt, we're not alone because through the magic of Skype, those engineers in Estonia with their great inventions. We got Joe Cardamona via Skype.
Welcome.
Where are you at, Joe? Echo Park?
I'm in Highland Park.
Highland.
Born and raised.
Cool.
Yeah.
I was right on the park part, wrong on the other park.
Close.
Close. And we started the show off with Bye Bye Blackbird, which was the last tour John Coltrane did with Miles Davis in 1960, Europe. And then we had Irate Amputee, Joe Cardamone.
That's right.
Joe, your earliest musical recollection, please.
It would probably have to be like my mom singing Irish Eyes or something like that to me as a child, you know. But as far as music outside of the house, you know, probably the Beatles, man. You know, my parents both grew up in the 60s, so that was kind of that was my nursery rhymes.
And you growing up, Joe, where?
Los Angeles, East L.A., Highland Park, where I still live, really. But, East L.A. is where
you
I was
call Highland
reared.
Park, East L.A.?
Yeah.
Well, it's close, yeah. Little,
I mean,
a little bit
you know,
north.
It's Northeast L.A. if you want to get technical with it. But we still think of ourselves as East L.A. over here.
Because in Pedro, well, we're all ignorant and stupid anyway. Mm. But when we try to learn, we think of Boyle Heights for some reason.
You know, Boyle Heights is like the deep East L.A.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
It is. But El Sereno, all that shit, man. It's all East L.A.
God, I was just there to get a picture taken. It was my first park, El Sereno.
Yeah, it's a trippy.
What do you think? It's a crazy area.
Yeah, it's a trip out there.
It's got a good mix.
It does. I mean, it's families. You know what I mean?
Yeah, nice in Pedro in some ways. We got.
Yeah, it's like a real community.
Oh, I know it. I used to work in Pedro.
Is that right?
Yeah, oh. I used to work at Recess Records when I was a young buck.
Oh, man. Cool.
That's right. That's
oh,
right.
Man, so you had a hike.
18 years old.
Well, you know, he's got a pad down the left of the Pacific. It used to be Ramona Bakery.
Whoa.
And,
nice.
Craig Ibarra is doing his Water Under the Bridge out of there now. In the
yeah, that's
of
cool.
Soon oh, shit.
Joe, soon he's trying to get this open for gigs.
Really? That'd
yeah.
be cool. That'd be cool.
Sardine Bar, right, brother?
Yes, yeah.
That's what it says in the window.
That's bitching living in the same town you grew up in. That's cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I did that, too.
Yeah.
So
my
your mom
folks are still
your
here.
Pop,
you know
listeners.
What I mean?
They're listening to Beatles. They got a good record collection.
Yeah,
did they have any
collection.
Instruments in the pad?
Yeah, my dad had, my dad played drums and played guitar and kind of touched everything a little bit. And, I remember him playing around the house and he pretty much played up until the time I was about 8 or 9 until he was a Teamster, you know, in the union. And he also did craft service for the movies, you know, and someone dropped a giant pane of glass, the guy that was spotting him, and cut 3 of his fingers all the way off.
Oh, fuck.
Yes. And they sewed him back on.
Yeah.
But it was never quite the same.
Yeah.
And he kind of put, you know, I didn't see him play as much after that. So for early childhood, I saw a lot of playing, and then maybe after that accident, he didn't really play as much.
Sure. Joe, was there a drum set in the pad?
No way. But just a nylon acoustic. That was the only thing laying around.
So that's the first thing you picked up and started?
For sure.
Did he show you stuff?
He showed me, yeah, he did. He showed me a few things, but he was weird, man. He was not really, he never pushed it on me or even really encouraged it. He wanted, I think in hindsight, he wanted me to want it for myself. So he never really was like, never gave me roadmaps, you know? He was always kind of like, he knew I'd figure it out if I needed to do it.
What about school? Were you in the band or the choir or the marching?
No, I was ejected from music class, honestly. They kicked me out. But there wasn't a lot of, I went to Catholic school. There wasn't a lot of arts in Catholic school, really.
Okay. There's choir though, right?
Not even. There was no choir at my school. I mean, it was a small school, so it was like 30 kids to a class or whatever, you know? So there was, you know, they barely had a basketball team.
So your first playing then is with that acoustic guitar.
For sure. Yeah, playing on that. And very soon after that, saving up cash from serving funerals as an altar boy to buy my own.
That was the bonus bucks.
Did you buy an electric guitar?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, man. Like, I wanted a Les Paul, right? Because this is like, what, 1988 or some shit like that?
Right.
And one day, the neighbors across the street had a garage sale, and they had, like, a Seville Les Paul copy. And to me, it was the same thing. You know, I had no fuck. I was like, there it is. And I went over there, talked them down, got $40 together, and they gave me the guitar, but it didn't work at all. And they told me that. And it took me, I think, 4 months to keep saving, and I would buy piece by piece until the fucking thing worked. So I had it for like 6 months before I could even play it. And then finally, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Finally,
what about like, amp?
My parents' stereo.
Yeah.
I couldn't afford an amp.
Sure. Can you remember the first record you bought for yourself, Joe?
Yeah, for sure. It was two records in one day. Like, my parents bought me records and shit. Like they bought me, you know, Michael Jackson Thriller and stuff like that. But the first one, I got a gift certificate for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I remember the week before Appetite for Destruction had come out, I bought that, and I bought Young MC.
Right? Mm.
Yep. And I bought Young MC the same day. I bought both those records.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And what about the first gig you went and saw?
Also Guns N' Roses.
Whoa.
Guns N' Roses, Metallica, and Motorhead at, Coliseum. It was nuts. It was like, whoa, what the fuck?
And that's your first gig. How old?
That was, 7th grade, so however old you are in 7th grade. Yeah, a child. My dad went with us, you know what I mean? It was that kind of shit.
Sure. Like, my first gig was T-Rex with D. Boone, and his pop took us.
Exactly.
I want to play Crown of Torn.
There was an honesty to the confidence of do I want most in the world? I want the biggest sweet potato.
Thank you.
The cabin boy, the dirty little nipper. He lined his ass with shards of glass and circumcised the skipper.
Oh, Brother Matt. Okay, we just heard Crown of Torn, Joe Cardamone. Then Num Abismo from Vermes de Limbo out of Brazil. M.B. Jones, Biggest Sweet Potato. Anthems of the Void with The Collector Reveals. Alex Zhang Hongtai, Perot. The Doers with What Gives, and finally Asleep at the Heel, Joe Cardamone. So a little.
I had lunch with Alex yesterday.
Wow, dirty bitches.
Yeah.
How
strange.
He's back
is that?
In town, huh? Because he
He's
was
back
in New York
town.
City. He was all around the place, right?
He moves a lot, dude. He moves a lot, but
well,
he's trying to settle down.
I think
he's
doing these gigs that were connected to this movie he was part of.
Yep. Yep, he's always doing cool shit, man.
Right.
I love that guy.
He's really working the tenor these days.
Yeah, he is. He as well had a hand accident that kind of incapacitated him for a minute and to.
Well, I remember one time he locked himself out of a pad, so I had to jump out a window and broke his heels. Like in Berlin or some shit. Yeah, like jumped
really?
Out a 4-story building to get out. Yeah, he's
holy
tough.
Shit.
I mean, he's a big, strong guy, but he takes blows. I love
exactly.
It.
Exactly. I love the it. Bigger they are.
Yeah, right. You know, Asleep at the Heel and Crown of Torn, a little bit of a pun rock, huh?
You know, it's been, yeah, I don't know. It's been hard to, like, kind of describe the material in words to people. You know what I mean?
That's why you make it a music and a song, Joe.
Exactly, but that's, you know, that's like exactly not what people want from your mouth. You know, they want the one-liner. Like, it's this.
Like, they want to go in the museum or the gallery, and instead of looking at the picture, they want to look at the description.
Exactly. so that they have, like, guidelines to look at the
picture. Right,
right. You know?
They're actually not worried about whether they like it. They're worried about whether other people like it.
Totally. I mean, context always helps, which is why me and my boys did a bunch of films with this stuff, because I knew that description is going to be a little bit of a tricky thing this time. So, mm-hmm. You know, we thought, okay, let's like widen the scope and try to make some films on this shit. And, hopefully that's been effective to give context. Cause honestly, with music these days, it seems like the more context you hand people, the better.
Yeah,
for whatever that's
worth.
You're
referring to the line. Who's the guy who flew too close to the sun?
Oh, Icarus.
Yeah, the Icarus line, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get there yet. I still want to be in your older days. Like during school, Catholic school stuff. After school, did you do the garage, bedroom, basement band?
Yeah, school was tough, man.
Well, not
you
in
know,
school. I'm talking about during those years, but not in school, outside of school, like after school.
As soon as I had an instrument of my own, I coerced my only close friends to get instruments as well, and was almost instantly doing originals because I sucked at covers. So, yeah, I was already trying to, like, you know, pawn off some half-baked song ideas as soon as I could hold an instrument.
You're talking about the Seville Les Paul copy.
For sure,
okay.
For sure.
And who'd you get on board? Your best buddy?
Yeah, I mean, it started with childhood friends, like the Whitworth brothers that, uh-huh, like, I just grew up with, who had, like, probably zero musical aspirations or ability, but they were bodies in the room. And short thereafter, Alvin de Guzman, who was a grade school friend of mine, I actually asked Alvin, we became friends because he was quick as a whip, this little Filipino kid, quick as a whip and a smart ass. And I saw that he could draw, so I was like, hey man, you want to draw the demo cover tape for my band? Which I had no demo or band or anything. He's like, yeah, I'll do that. And so a week later, I kind of hit him up like, how's that cover coming? And he's like, you know what? Fuck the cover. I bought a bass. And I was like, really?
Whoa.
Yeah. And we hung out, and he knew, like, every Led Zeppelin song in a week. It was just like, all right, what the fuck?
He's in the band.
Yeah, he was the band. You know, it was like,
okay. Wow, and what was this first band called?
I mean, which week? Which day of the week are we talking? You know? there was a different name all the time.
Okay. What about was their first gig?
Yeah, probably at a house, like a backyard party.
Sure. Kegger.
You know, we probably I think it was eighth grade, you know, okay. So everyone from our class hung out. We put lights up and tried to make it look like it was something. And check this out. The drummer who we had been jamming with, who was in our class, decided not to show up the night of.
That's great.
And I was like, fuck. There was this high school kid that I always heard playing drums on that same street.
Yeah.
And every day I would be like, man, that kid sounds great. He probably was trash. But to me, it was like, this is amazing. Someone knows how to play. I cold knocked on his door the day of and was like, hey, man, are you the drummer? We got a gig tonight. Would you just come do it with us? And, like, he said yes. And that was it. And that was the first gig.
Oh. Well, did you have a name for that gig?
I don't remember.
Okay, that's okay. Was it scary?
Oh, fuck yeah. I no concept of, like, what singing in pitch or any of that shit means.
Yeah, right.
You know? It was just like, can we fool everyone enough to clap?
Did you have a set list?
Oh, hell yeah, we did.
Okay. And did you get around to making a cassette demo?
We did, actually. We did. We ended up recording.
You ended up making the art and playing the bass?
I think we made the art together on his, like, first-generation Mac.
Oh, wow.
And Xerox machines. You know, it was like we were really high-tech.
Yeah. Remember, James did one, what were they called, Amiga?
Yeah, that kind of shit.
Andy Warhol did ads for Amiga.
I remember Amiga.
Yeah, right.
Like Atari 2600.
Sure. That's the company Atari, right.
Yep.
So Pong, right?
Yeah.
Pong is Atari. What's the fate of this band, Joe?
We all go to different high schools because I was barred from going to the same high school as everybody else because the faculty didn't like me.
Sure.
So they were like, we got to split this guy up from his friends. I swear to God, it was like this straight up hit job. So they sent me to a school across town.
Yeah.
Everybody else went to another school, but that didn't do shit. We still jammed. And that's kind of where, Canker Sores, our high school sort of punk band, was born.
Canker Sores.
Yeah. Not bad, you know.
So Canker Sores was born. Okay.
Canker Sores was born.
They can put you in different schools, but they can't split you from the Canker Sores.
Oh, hell no. Hell no.
So the Canker Sores, they go on to do gigs, make recordings?
I mean, so many gigs and so many recordings. I put more effort into that at that point in my life than probably anything I've ever done in my existence, you know?
Whoa.
We played, every weekend we played three shows.
Wow.
For years. Yeah. We recorded a full-length album, you know, in a day while we were, you know, studying for whatever, and put out a CD, I think, sophomore year or junior year, you know, ourselves. And senior year, I think, is when Todd Congelier, you know, we made friends with that camp, is when he kind of signed us to Recess Records. And we,
okay.
Yeah.
But you're a little too young for the Vexes. There was four Vexes.
I do kind of remember that, though.
A guy named Joe Vex ran it, and Minutemen played a lot of them. I mean, they weren't even around by Firehose. But you were doing three gigs a week. That's pretty amazing. That's bitchy.
We were doing, what was it called? Showcase Corona. You remember? We were doing Frogs Torrance.
Right, on Hawthorne.
Angel's Gate. We would a lot of South Bay shows because one of the members of the band was from Torrance.
Ah, and Todd originally is Torrance. You know, he ain't really Pedro.
Exactly.
But he's
exactly.
Pedro enough now. He
right?
Wasn't original. There was this whole thing in the 90s, early 90s, called Porch Core. They were on 4th Street in Gaffey.
That's the house I worked in.
Okay, that's probably where you worked, right?
Yep. That's the spot. A lot of the shows were DIY shows.
Of course, playing right in the living room.
Yeah.
And we're talking out-of-state touring bands.
Yep, for sure, Yeah, it was kind of crazy because we were like 17 years old, but, you know, Stormy Shepherd and kind of big agents like that would call us for shows because the bands could make more money half the time playing some weird copy shop that we coerce into letting us do a one-off gig,
sure.
You know, and keep the dough.
You know, that's where I found Raul Morales. He was playing with the Leeches.
Hell yeah, I remember the Leeches.
I saw him playing. I want that guy in the band. So I was touring so much I didn't even know this scene was happening in my own fucking town.
Right? It was popping off, though.
Right.
It was.
And what about you guys
really
as far as touring? Did you get in the van?
We owned about six vans in the span of 6 years that all cost $900 each. You know,
the recycler?
And, totally. Or someone on the street, whatever it took. You know, we were... we could not take a hint. You know what I mean? Like, destiny would slap us in the dick, and we'd be like, oh, okay, we got to try harder. You know, so we just couldn't take a hint. It was, like, insane. But, yeah, we did do some touring, but this was before the internet, so it was all through Maximum Rock and Roll, Book Your Own Life, shit like that.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm a little familiar.
Cold calling people, you know what I mean? Basically, and sending demo tapes.
In the fall, I'm going to do my, if you call a tour more than a month, my 67th one. Look what the end of the first hour, May 30, 2019, Dishwap Pedro Show special guest Joe Cardamona. Hold tight for hour two! May 30, 2019, it's the second hour, Wap for Pedro Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jason Bentley, and I hope to sit down with a great musician. Instead,
hey,
I'm joined by...
Hey, take it easy, man. Take it easy.
Just kidding with you, man.
Yeah.
You still have the beads of sweat from being on stage.
It was hot.
You're so cool, dude.
I know.
You're just, like, naturally smooth. I even watched your performance. You were smoking a cigarette. Like, so casual.
Yeah. I'm trying to quit, man. It's a bad habit. A really bad habit.
So, how did this start? I mean, whose idea was it?
I don't know, man. I guess I was sitting at home freaking out because the rent was due, and I figured, yeah, I better get my shit together and start popping some new tunes off.
You are known to have a good time,
all
but
right.
When it comes to the music making, it's serious business.
It's serious as a heart attack, man. This is the shit. This is all I ever done. American Primitive. Holy war.
It's funny because I would never consider you a pop band.
Why not?
But you kind of took a whack at a pop song.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Wait, why do you say that?
Was that an experiment, and did the experiment work?
No, this isn't an experiment, man. This is the truth on ice. It is basically a life soundtrack.
You want to give us a little preview, a little taste?
Yeah, fuck it.
Sing a couple songs for us?
You ain't nothing but a hound dog crying all the time. Yeah.
You do have a full-length scheduled, and obviously you're playing a full set of songs. So is the album done, recorded, finished?
Yeah, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. That shit is tied up with a bow, and I don't know. Keep checking your mailbox.
So there's clearly a very strong aesthetic, the sound matching the look, the image and everything. Was that just a natural process in dialing that feeling in?
I mean, I didn't try to think too hard about it. I just, like, slipped into it, and we turned on the camera so that we could start making that Holy War movie and making the record and making the collection. Make something new.
What's that?
Make them that feels a little bit
different. We love you, man. Thank you for coming through, spending a little time.
Yeah, of course.
Here, jump on my lap while
what?
I throw it to the next, next thing. All right. Well, thank you for joining us.
Yeah,
well, thank you for joining us. 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 Thank you for joining us.
Right on. This is a Beach Boys tune called Disney Girls.
2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Daddy.
times making wine in my garage. Country shade and lemonade, if I'm slowing down. It's a turnback world with a local girl in a smaller town. Well, it's open cars and clearer stars, that's what I like.
And bruise and skate and go around and win again. Roll a girl, roll and spin. Your wheels are flame and you can jam and block and knock them down and come around again. Roll a girl, skating girl, you set my heart aflame with scoring the points. Fantastic jam and win my heart again. Roll a girl, you roll and roll and show them what you're really made of. Uniforms look really nice when you fill them out. You flesh with a smile and you knock them down and get it on now and roll a girl, you roll.
Just like a walk in the park. You are little boat in the lake. And then we'd head down to his joint, down on Cedar Avenue.
You're gonna be okay, kid.
There were guns involved, sure. Boys were playing cards back there. With old Coke machines. And other crazy scenes. And there was this one man. Liked me.
What was his name?
He used to say.
עוד רגע קט ינשוף הזמן את המלחמה אל מעבר לגבול ונשכח את דוחק המוות עולם ברקה את הלא יכול להיות קורה ושוב קורה נשכח את השתן נקווה ומסריח בפינות המבנים את המוגלה הבורצת מהפסעים את הנמלה הזהירה שטעילה לאורך הבטון החשוף ועצרה לפתע את מסעה הסתובבה ושבה אל עקבותיה את התהדקות זמורות הגפן אל מות השער כאילו כלום
ship out to sea.
Fought for Pedro show. We start off the second hour with Chasin' Bentley. Joe Cardinale. And then we had Negative Example doing Disney Girls, 1957. Live TV broadcast. Vicious Circle with Beach Girl. That's Jack, right? TSOL. Before TSOL. Synthesizer, man. Joe Brewer, Rock and Roll Girl Roll. Rock and Roller Girl Roll. I think it's for skater girls. Jack Brewer's cousin.
He does the roller derby.
Loves it.
Yeah.
Loves it. And then Zero Debt out of Perth, Australia. With Soul Mender. $75 Bill with Ursaw. Anthropomorphic Everyday Objects by Roosterhead. They were Strong Beach, but now I think they're Inglewood. People are moving to Inglewood.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, it's a new town.
Right. And right near.
I used to live in Inglewood.
I was going to just say about Loyola Marymount.
Yeah, that was between the freeway and the forum.
Okay.
Right under the flight path.
But then that's, people moved close to the water too, right? The flight path.
Run around nice naked in your backyard trying to cause plane wrecks.
Scream your lungs out on your one fucking move. Duo Decibel System with Dance. Lucy Lee from with History Teacher. Farther South in a Moment. And finally, Joe Cardamona with Let's Pretend Again. Okay, so how long did the Kinkersaurs end up existing?
I would say basically 4 years of high school and right out of high school, our drummer passed away, and that was pretty much the end of that era of the band, or that name of the band.
Wow, pretty young.
Yeah, very young.
Yeah. So where did your music direction turn in?
I think, things had already started evolving away from what the Kinkersaurs was. We were kind of on like a hiatus, mostly me probably retooling what was going to happen with the art of it all, And during that hiatus is when Tim passed away in a like acid-fueled car wreck in the middle of the desert. And after that, when you're that young and you kind of, you lose someone. Well, it was the summer that Joe died from FYP.
Oh, yeah.
Tim died. Yep. And also this guitar player we were close to, Phil from Naked Aggression. All three of them died within like a month span of each other.
Yeah.
So I spent that whole summer going to funerals. And after that, that's kind of how the Icarus line was somehow born out of that. There was like this, kind of this summer of tragedy, and basically that kind of pushed the envelope on like, okay, time to double down on this. And I quit all my jobs and took whatever little money I had and kind of invested it into making that thing be what I was doing.
And did some of the guys move on to this project?
Yeah, Alvin, basically everyone. Everyone that was in the Kinkersaurs, it morphed into this new band minus Tim, who had passed away. So it really was kind of the same band, even though it didn't really sound like the same band. There was, we kind of shed a skin or something like
sure.
that.
And also maybe a different drummer, man. Who was the new drummer?
That was like a month to month thing, because Tim was so sick.
Sure.
And a friend. So, you can only imagine a bunch of 18-year-old drug addict dickheads who already think they're too good for the world, auditioning people and being like, this guy can't hang. And that went on for about, 3 or 4 years, So there was probably 10 drummers until, it was like that until we found the captain. And then it was like, oh, this dude's a fuck up just like us. Come on.
Okay. And, you end up with this kind of piece, right? This opera.
Yeah.
It didn't start out that way, did it? The band, it was songs first, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Are we talking about the new thing?
Well, the new word.
Yeah, the newest.
From last year.
Yeah, exactly. The newest thing, it's weird. Death has been a catalyst in my life a bunch. And this thing didn't really find its way completely until Alvin had passed away from cancer like 2 years ago. So it was this project of experimentation up until that point. And really, like, I didn't really plan on ever releasing it. And to be honest, after the Icarus Line broke up, I was kind of thinking to be done with music altogether, just because it's not really a lucrative thing for me the way that I do it. You know, it's not always been lucrative, you know. So trying to figure out how to move a 7-piece band around the world and, like, make a buck doing it, it's, you know, it's a lot of work.
I thought you, like, kind of improvised on the idea by going man alone.
That's basically what happened here. Was like, you know, I don't think I can do that anymore, but I might be able to do this on my own. And really, like, the idea behind it is as simple as this. I could go on trips and play shows and bring whoever I want with me instead of whoever I have to.
Okay. Sounds
you
good.
Know?
Yeah, absolutely. What's the quote, Brother Matt? Necessity's mother invention.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like exactly.
That. And, yeah. Well, that's great, you know, because, yeah, when it starts raining lemonade, picture.
Right? You take your vitamins or whatever.
Take your vitamins. And you know what? Right now we got Brother Matt to bring forth his man alone.
Cool.
Rehabilitated. Some say the only way to ease the pain is getting down and pray. I'm asking no guru, no teacher for me. I got no faith and no fantasy. I went to too many once flying too long. So many mornings already gone wrong. Baby, it's been so long, I've been feeling so alone. Deep down in the dark, dying.
Sometimes the light don't shine. That's the time we gotta open our eyes. Sometimes the light don't shine.
Rehabilitated.
Sometimes the light don't shine. That's the time we gotta open our eyes. Sometimes the light don't shine. You and me really wanna get
rehabilitated.
Stop.
to sleep. They just get right up out of the chest and work right along the road. Goes and marries a woman just coming in from that period of time.
Thank you.
Bird-worthy. Hey, fucking Highland Park Stampede Connect going. Brother Matt, what was it that made you do what you just did to us with your spin cycle?
I think that was maybe the very Reverend D. Wayne Love from Alabama 3 there, sure. Getting rehabilitated, late great.
Rehabilitation.
Joe was talking about all the people dying.
Right.
See, we got right. That happening on this end, too.
Brother Matt's been going to a lot of funerals.
It's never good, man.
I know, but... Well, we're kind of more in the end game, but you had it way close when you were, during the early part of the shift.
Yeah, basically the kid years, fucking salad days.
And especially key people like Alvin, I can relate to maybe like a D. Boone kind of thing.
Yeah, it's, when you have like a partner in life like that, in crime, and there's like a developed language that just basically will never really be recreated, so it's a tremendous loss,
terrible blow.
Yeah,
nobody can fill those shoes.
Yeah, I guess you just gotta play the hand you get dealt,
You gotta learn from it somehow. You gotta, for me, it kind of like ended up making me stronger in a lot of ways because.
Well, did it kind of pulled the plug on the Icarus line, right? But actually the last.
For sure.
But the last form of the Icarus line dealt with that experience also, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, it was always a reoccurring theme for some fucked up reason. But, even maybe the last few years of doing that group, half the time I felt like I was doing it for the group as much as maybe myself, Because it was something we did together, and it was something that kept us connected as people. And so once he was gone, there was nothing there in that for me. It was already said,
Did he keep playing while he was sick?
To an extent, he would come by the studio and, with all the Holy War shit and all my solo stuff, yeah. He saw the genesis of that and he would be around, but he couldn't play shows, So the last tour we did was this godforsaken jaunt with that dude Scott Weiland. Do you remember that guy? Scott Weiland from Stone Temple Pilots or whatever?
We had the bass player the day before. He got killed.
Okay. That was the Icarus Line's last tour.
Wow. Robert DeLeo, right?
That's right. That's right. So,
sweet guy. Yeah. Him and his brother was the guitar man.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, he was cool.
That's right. They were a family band
and then
somewhat.
We, the next day we got the news. I think it was in Minneapolis or something.
Yeah. We had dropped off that tour a week before that because of that very reason. Because... It just, it kind of solidified some sort of inclinations I had about, the format of a rock band up to that point, at least just for myself.
Yeah.
It just didn't work anymore, It was like, this isn't going to get to where I need it to go. And kind of seeing the way the audiences sort of reacted to that dude Scott and almost showing up to watch a crucifixion, really, that's what it was. They were praying for his downfall. They were like looking at him, so waiting for him to fuck up so they could catch it on their phone, and this is what I witnessed. And it was like, I already got one foot out the door. Seeing this was just like, this doesn't resemble what I got into music for. I'm out.
Yeah, I don't blame you, Joe. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, May 30th, 2019, just Rock Pedro Show. Special guest, Joe Cardamone. Brother Matt, hold tight for hour 3. May 30, 2019, it's the third hour. Watch the Pedro Show.
Women.
Pedro show. We started the third hour off of Deadbeats. I thought it was Believers. That's next. It's Deadbeats, which was part of the Big Icarus line. Daggered Moth and Philippe Petit with Ovaries. That's a Italy France collab there. Jill with The Girl in His Dreams, and then Dead Before John. Dead Before Dawn by Joe Cradamone.
And, Dead Before John is kind of a better name, though.
You're back to that pun rock.
You know, or Juan.
You know, you did this tour, the Man Alone version, in Europe, right?
Correct.
Last year. What was that like?
Well, Mark Lanigan me up about doing something together and coming out on the road, and he threw me on his bus, you know, because I'm a cheap date at this point, you know. It's just me in a suitcase.
Sure.
And it was actually right near when Alvin passed away, and I was kind of like, I don't know if I'm, like, ready to do this in front of people or whatever. I haven't really done it much. So I asked him if I could bring my little brother, who's a chef and just all-around awesome guy, you know. So he's like, yeah, I got a bunk for your brother. And we went out. And I have to say, like,
you know, I took Screaming Trees on the first two tours.
Did you?
Yeah, I wouldn't shit you, Joe.
I know that. I met Mark when we did some tryout gigs for Queens of the Stone Age. And by tryout gigs, I mean they had heard about the Icarus Line and said we could open up for a couple shows, and if it went well, we could be on the rest of the tour, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the shows went so well that we didn't get the rest of the tour.
Not too good.
Yeah, it was the wrong kind of good.
They didn't want to choke on the smoke.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mark has got a righteous voice, man.
He's got a God-given gift. Yeah. You know, that's what that is. Heart. You know?
He had to stop his tour just recently. I hope things are okay.
He's all right. You know, even on that trip, I think he had torn his ACL or something. Fucked. And he made it through the whole tour on a goddamn fucking, wow. He had a cane. I saw that dude pulling himself up the stairs every day. Like, yeah. You know, Mark's fucking tough as fucking nails, man. But he's great. He's a great person.
And so you did that tour as a co-pilot, as a passenger.
Basically, yeah, I was a barnacle on the fucking edge of the bus, you know what I mean?
Right, but when it came to being on stage, how'd you deliver these musics that we're hearing now?
It was me, a 20-foot screen projecting some films, some sort of impressionistic films that loosely related to the music, and a track, and I just had to sing it, like, you know, like Bowie singing Heroes on fucking Top of the Pops or some shit, you know what I mean? It was like that, you know, like I'm the only living breathing thing in this production. So you know, it became such a sort of like significant changer for me. I really kind of understood some things about singers that I admired that I had never really known before, you know, how to really hold a tune in the stage and kind of what the pressure was and what it means to like really, really give people everything you've got, no matter what the cost, you know, no matter what, you know, even if it takes a chunk out of you every night. And it surely did. You know, I almost quit the tour a few times.
Whoa.
Because I mean, it was just, you know, it was one of playing that music, the stuff you've been playing today on your show, feels like, and still to this day, you know, feels like it's taking a fucking chunk out of my side when I perform it. You know, it's not because it's physically demanding, you know, and I'm bashing myself up against the wall. I did that for 20 years, no problem, you know, split my head open, no problem. This, the vulnerability involved in kind of delivering what these need to be to come off as a performance live, and to be actually compelling, is some other shit that I had not yet experienced, you know.
You're talking about the motion.
Yeah, the motion.
I had that with my first opera, four tours of it. I just couldn't do it anymore. It beat me up.
Because you have to summon something that that is a heavy weight to carry in front of people, and they have to commune with you. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, you know, you're really kind of spending spiritual energy in a way that maybe I hadn't before. Let's put it that way. I hadn't done it like that, you know, and been that vulnerable in front of people. Always had a band. Always had a wall of noise. Always had a fucking wall of armor in between me.
Almost always had a crutch.
Yeah, the crowd was the enemy. the whole time I was in the Icarus line. You know, so it was like, yeah, rules of engagement for war, those are easy. I have orders. I can go out there. I could take a fucking knife. You know, this is something where I actually have to welcome, you know, the viewer inside to what is really actually going on.
Well, let's listen to Believers.
Crimson in his Come on. not dead.
Thank you.
like a shark. I let my day slip away and hijack my dream into a joke. Death is not the end. Wake me up when it's over. Crush every atom to bits faster than a spark.
Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Joe Cardamone with Believers. Robert Pollard with Return of the Drums. He's going to do a 100 song set at the Roxy New Year's, brother.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Whoa.
He's working on his 104th album.
Fucking hell.
Oh, man. And then the click, no, this click with Gazowin live. Twisted Noise Association with Straight Rican. I guess. Rican suffering. And Unit F with Heather. She Don't Want to Fight by Evil Hearted You. And finally, Took the Money. Joe Cardamone. I can't pronounce his first part. 4FG cross dollar sign dollar sign. Got some kind of emoji shit going.
Yeah, you know, it's hacker lingo.
Joe, where can people find out about you on the internet?
Google.
Okay. Is there a Joe website?
Yeah, I think the main website at this point is American Primitive, which is just kind of like a art collective that
AmericanPrimitive.com?
.org, I think it is. AmericanPrimitive.org. Yeah, it's like a place.
I think it's important because it's kind of your fanzine.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Parallel. Yeah. Whereas the other thing, Shitter, Instant Ham, Fake Look, that's just telephone poles. It's to hang your flyers on those telephone poles.
Exactly. So it's good to have your own little fanzine thing.
What is the next plan?
Well, let's see if I get released from jail this year. You know, if I do, then I'll do another tour. No, I don't know. I have about 30 more tunes in the can right now.
And then what would you call these tunes? Are they Icarus Line? Or are they?
No, the Icarus Line is dead. I'll never do it without Alvin, so that will be gone forever. It's the same sort of spirit as the last batch of stuff. I haven't really told anyone the title, but I think it's called Skeleton Joe. You know, and that's
Joe.
That's
a good one.
You know, and that's
a good ring, good feel.
It's all right, you know what I mean. So that's kind of where I'm at right now is that, and then trying to work on putting another feature film together. You know.
Yeah, we should tell people there's a film called The Icarus Line.
Yeah, The Icarus Line Must Die. It actually played last night at a theater in Orange County. I didn't go, but
The Dirty Laundry.
Grodner.
Yeah, Grodner. Great cat.
That's right.
Great cat. How'd you get connected with him?
It's weird, man. Like, through Dirty Laundry, I think.
Okay.
And he ended up coming to visit me at the studio while I was making the last Icarus Line record and would just sit in on the dailies, if that's what you can call them, kind of hear the mixes and things as they're evolving. And, you know, we would talk about life, blah, 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 and he would always kind of scratch his head and just be like, you know, we should make a movie about this. And I was like, yeah, I don't think so. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see why anyone would give a fuck about my life. And eventually he coerced me into it. You know, he was like, do it. And I was like, okay, fuck it. And the first day he shows up to film, and I figure it's going to be like him and an iPhone. And all of a sudden there's like 20-person crew at my studio. And people are expecting me to be an actor. I was like, oh, shit. And then we made a film.
I got to see it, man. I can...
I'll send you a link. I got a link. I'll
please,
email you a link.
Please,
yeah.
Because I'm just curious as all hell on how he did it. He came over my pad to film me chowing. You make it a breakfast chow and then go paddle kayak.
Nice. Nice.
So, we're kind of film brothers there, Joe.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Michael Dirty TV. Joe, it's been righteous having you aboard. Good luck in your next adventures.
Yeah, I'm glad we made it happen.
Yeah, but you come on
it's
and talk.
Fault.
When you get this next album done and they don't put you in jail, you come on, let's talk about it.
Yeah, I want to come down to Pedro because it's been way too long.
Been too
so,
long.
You know, it's,
come on down.
I definitely want to come
we'll be
down.
Waiting
like,
for you here at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point.
That sounds awesome.
People, it's been May 30th, 2019, Dishawa Pedro Show.
Yeah.
Keep your powder dry.
Yeah.